The prosperity gospel is alive and well in the United States. Joel Osteen's version of Christianity is very popular. Here in the St. Louis area, flocks attend the Joyce Meyer Ministries and Faith Church, which advocate prosperity gospel. Now, why is the prosperity gospel so popular? Because it promises prosperity. Become a Christian and you will succeed. You will succeed in business. You will have good health. Your family will be healthy and happy. You will win friends and influence people. Let's admit it. Life under the cross is not that much fun. In countless ways, the world can make it tough living the life of biblical creedal discipleship. If you work for corporate America, they want your Saturdays and Sundays. Pretty soon you're working 80 hours a week, leaving no time for church or family. Teenagers experience a lot of peer pressure to conform to the ways of the world. The mass media has enormous power to shape the way people think and act. The public school system, from grade school to university, is making it increasingly difficult to hold on to the claims of biblical creedal Christianity. And if you belong to a church teaching that the biblical events actually happened in history, and that women are not to be ordained, and that does not bless same-sex relationships, well, give me a break, they say. I suppose you still think the earth is flat. The world can make it tough living the life of biblical creedal discipleship. And the old Adam would rather avoid the suffering. That's why ancient Israel murmured in the wilderness. The wilderness was no fun. And the ancient Israelites repeatedly murmured and complained during their journey through the wilderness. Our text in Numbers 21 provides another example. The Israelites spoke out against God and against Moses, his covenant mediator. Why have you, plural, brought us up from Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread and no water, and our appetite loathes the contemptible bread. Notice what they protested. They protested God's gospel action of delivering them from Egypt. They protested God's sustaining provision for them in the wilderness. They would rather be slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt than God's covenant people in the wilderness. Does that type of complaint still go on? Yes, in a variety of ways. A lot of Christians simply vote with their feet. They were baptized into Christ. They were catechized. They were set free from bondage to the world to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the world has a strong magnetic pull. And eventually they stop going to church. Just look at the statistics in our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We used to say we had 2.7 million. Now we say we have 2.3 million. But that statistic is deceiving because less than 40%, usually less than 35% of the confirmed members even go to church. Over 60% of our people have basically returned to the ways of the world. Rather than live the new life in the wilderness, they prefer the old life in Egypt. And how about us here in chapel today? The temptation is strong for ministers to complain and murmur about a lot of things. I know the temptation is strong for me to murmur, and sometimes I find myself murmuring and complaining against the Lord himself. Why doesn't the Lord Jesus Christ do something dramatic for a change? His word and sacraments are just not enough. Why doesn't he intervene in a big way with invisible Christendom, within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in that congregation, or in this seminary. Well, be careful what you wish for. The Lord might do something dramatic. He might send poisonous snakes. That's what the Lord did to ancient Israel in the wilderness, and many people died. This episode serves as a warning. That's how the Apostle Paul preached it in 1 Corinthians 10. He reminded his Christian readers that the ancient Israelites were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. They experienced a BC version of baptism and a BC version of the Lord's Supper, yet some of them put the Lord Christ to the test, and they were destroyed by serpents. The Apostle Paul says that this episode stands as a typological warning to Christians upon whom the end of the ages has come. Yes, it is possible for Christians to fall away from Christ and from his church. Calvinism is simply wrong on this point. All Christians need to be warned, and we need to be warned. Take heed lest you fall. But the episode recorded in Numbers 21 serves more than just a warning. Even more so, it stands as a gospel promise. The people came to Moses and confessed, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against Yahweh and against you. Pray to Yahweh that he take away the serpents from us." Moses, being the covenant mediator, interceded for the people, and God heard his prayer. God had Moses make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. Quote, "When anyone who is bitten looks at it, he will live." God's means of healing them did not operate like magic. It was of benefit only to those who confessed their sin, trusted in God's promise by taking him at his word and looking up to the bronze snake. In John 3, Jesus explicitly connects the bronze serpent with his own cross. He says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." The antitype is greater than the type. The bronze serpent gave the Israelites a longer temporal life. The Son of Man lifted high on the cross gives us eternal life with God. Some of you are about to embark on a journey. Some of you are getting ready to receive a call or a vicarage assignment. Some of you are contemplating whether to come to the SEM and study for the Holy Ministry. But in a larger way, we are all on a journey. By being lifted high on the cross, Christ has redeemed us from bondage to the world to belong to him as his new covenant people. By faith, we belong to him, the mediator of the new covenant, by his blood. And now he leads us on a journey through the wilderness. The Lord did not sugarcoat this journey. He did not offer the false dream of prosperity gospel. He bid us all to deny ourselves, to deny the old Adam, to deny the sinful ways of the world, to take up the cross and follow him. He repeatedly stressed how tough the trip would be, how the disciple is not above his master. As he said to his disciples in John 15, "If those of the world persecuted me, they will also persecute you." It is a long and hard road through the wilderness, a lot more than 40 years. It calls for endurance. On this journey, look to the cross. Look in faith to the Son of Man lifted high on the cross so that you might enjoy eternal life with God, both in the future and already now by faith. Follow your good shepherd through the wilderness. He is leading you to the promised land, the new and greater promised land, the new creation. And on your journey, come to the Lord's table and receive with thanksgiving his heavenly manna and his life-giving drink. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.